All right, as previously stated, we are excited to have Sister Sanders sharing her devotion with us this morning. We always receive a great blessing when we hear from Sister Sanders. She is a woman of prayer. She is a faithful woman, and she is a great leader and example and an elder to us as well, to our young ladies, our older ladies, our young men, our older men, everybody. She is just a great example of what it is to be a Christian, and we're excited to have her on the call this morning. Sister Sanders, I'm going to go ahead and give it over to you now.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you so much, Brother Vic. That was just very kind of you to say those things. But I want to say praise the Lord to the church that I love. You are in my heart. And I want to say praise the Lord to our wonderful pastor and pastor's wife. They're both beautiful people, and I'm learning more about that each day. And to our church, to the leaders, I just want to say I love you. To the Rao family, I also want to give you honor today, and to our elders. So I do have a burden on my heart today, and you know, I went to the Lord about this morning's devotion, and this is going to be kind of a tag-on from Wednesday night Bible study and also last night's ministry to the Spanish ministry, and it pertains to outreach. I don't have necessarily a title other than The Burden of Harvest. Maybe that would be a good title. That sounds good. The Burden of Harvest. And so we want to go to the book of St. John, chapter 4. And I'm mindful of the time. I won't hold you very long. But Jesus meets up with this woman in Samaria. And I'd like to start in verse number 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So we find that Jesus is leaving the region of Judea, and he's going to begin his ministry in the area of Galilee. And Samaria lies between the two points, the two destinations. And ordinarily, the Jews would bypass Samaria whenever they needed to go to Galilee for whatever reason. And they would cross the Jordan River and go on the eastward side to Perea and then up to Galilee out of the way. They went way out of the way to avoid the Samaritans because they had an issue with the Samaritans, as we know that there was a racial hatred between both of them. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, and the Jews despised the Samaritans. And so the disciples, of course, were really surprised to hear what Jesus said. He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." So Jesus found it very necessary. It was binding. It behooved him. He had to go. It was an urgency. It was a requirement that he went through Samaria. And the disciples, they were puzzled, but they didn't say a word. They followed Jesus. So in verse number 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well." And it was about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon. "Now there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water," which is unusual. Usually, handmaidens or the women would draw water in the early part of the day. But for some reason, this woman was wanting to go at 12 noon in the heat of the day to draw water. And Jesus, when he met her, and notice this is a divine meeting. Jesus knew exactly that this woman was going to be at the well at that particular time. And Jesus He didn't just happen to be there. This was a divine meeting, and it was for a purpose. So he asked the woman to give me to drink. And then his disciples, they went away into the city to buy food. So they're hungry, weary, and tired. So this woman, and we know a little bit about her background, so I can't help but think that her response and her interaction with Jesus was with a little impotence, a little smart aleckiness. That's my mind. That's what I believe. And so he says of the woman, give me to drink. And then she says unto him, how is it you being a Jew ask me, which is a woman of Samaria, to have to give you a drink, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus now, he's beginning to reveal to her his divinity, his divine purpose of meeting her at that well. And he tells her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. He's beginning to reach now into her spiritual, into her soul. And so the woman says unto him, sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? And then I could just imagine she's just kind of smart alecky. She's not really getting it yet. And then she says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and cattle? And Jesus, again, he's reaching for her. He says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. This is life. This is the temporal, fleeting pleasures of life. They're fleeting. They're only temporal. We're going to be back into thirst. Think about it. There's people out there, they're hungry and thirsting for God. You know what they're doing? They get involved in drugs. They get involved in whatever it is that lure. And it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill. They find themselves empty and hungry again. But Jesus now, he wants to meet her need. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water, how many of you know that we have experienced that water? And that's a joyous place. That's a everlasting place. But he says, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What Jesus has to offer is enduring. It's everlasting. It's fulfilling. It meets that need, that essential need that's in every man. And then the woman replies and says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she had a hunger in her. And we know she had a hunger in her, because Jesus says to her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. So now Jesus is going to read her mail. He says, you have rightly said you have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Look at the hunger of this woman, man after man after man after man, not finding her satisfaction. And then Jesus says, or the woman replies to Jesus saying, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she goes on to talk about the worship. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and that hour is right now, church. And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that is in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in the other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. That is the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's living a holy and a consecrated life, and that's rendering true worship unto God in our lifestyle, as well as coming together to worship the Lord. And then the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So then Jesus gives her a further revelation of his divinity. And upon this, he tells her, I that speak unto thee am he. That's when his disciples, they come back you know, with the bread and the food. And they are marveling that he is having conversation, interaction with this Samaritan woman. And they wonder, why is he talking to her? But they dare not say anything. So the woman, she leaves her water pot, and she went her way into the city, and she begins to evangelize to her community. She says, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And so here we have a burden of harvest. And I think this is what God wants us to do with our testimonies, with our personal experience with the living God. He wants us to go and to tell the world about this. There's a song, I got to tell the world about this. You know, and of course we can recall the scriptures in Matthew 28:19 and Mark 16:15, where Jesus is compelling us to go, where Jesus sent forth the disciples two by two to go heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel to every creature. And we know that the Bible also lets us know that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So there's, it's white. So that's where we're going to get to in a minute, right here. Okay. So she says, come see a man. So then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Realizing he was weary, realizing he was hungry, he had journeyed this long distance, and he's in Samaria. And he tells them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Jesus was saying, I have an ardent desire. I have a passion, a compulsion, an irresistible force, a constraint of the will which compels me to act. It urges me so strongly as to produce its effect upon my body and my mind. I'm driven. I'm urged forward by force. I'm impelled to move. I'm constrained by necessity. And we know Jesus early on, he said to his parents when they went to Jerusalem, and he was only 12 years old, he already had the burden upon his life. He says, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In St. John chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus cleansed the temple, they remembered, the disciples, that it was written in the psalm, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And then in St. John 4:34, in the same passage that we're reading, he says unto them, he replies unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. We know Jesus finished that work on Calvary. And now he says, greater works than these shall ye do, because I'm gone up now to my Father, but we are his hands and we are his feet. We are his mouth. We are his vessels. And we have a job to do. And then he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Aren't we in that season now when we see that with all of these wonderful things that are taking place, awesome things, terrible things, but we know it's the mighty hand of God. We know that God is in full control, and he's unleashing these things, just as the prophecy said in the Bible. And so we're in that crucial moment where their people are hungering. They're out there hungering. They're looking. They're seeking. They're wanting. And we've got the goods. We've got it. And we must have that same urgency, that same sense of compulsion that Jesus had to go out and to tell them. And there's joy in this thing. Even though it seems like there's a lot of calamity, for the saints of the Most High God, it's joyous time because we recognize we're at the brink of his soon coming. But then also there's a joy in the harvest. There's a crown of rejoicing to the soul winner. There's that glory and joy that is realized when a soul received that baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like on Wednesday night when that young lady came and she just reached for God and the Lord filled her, and many, many, just not her, but filled her with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants to do that for everyone. And so we're his hands, we're his feet. So the end result of this meeting, of him going out of his way, going through a region of the country that most Jews would abhor to go through, he got a great result, because the Bible says that many, in verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." And then the Bible lets us know in verse 41 of St. John chapter 4 that many more believed because of his own word. And then it lets us know that there was a great harvest in Samaria. Also in the book of Acts, same thing in chapter 8. There was a great harvest in Samaria. So God has a great harvest, and we've got to go get it. Thank you for listening. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Sanders. This was tremendous. It was powerful. And before we go forward, I have someone who wants to make a comment. Let me make sure. Sister Clark, are you on the line now?
I am.
All right, go
right
ahead.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Sister.
Okay. Sister Sanders, as always, that was so good. You have such an incredible gift for teaching, and your knowledge of the Word of God and your spirit. And we love you so much. You are so dear to my husband and I, and such a blessing, and to our whole church. And of course, when we think of you, we think of our dear elder brother Sanders, and we love you just as much as we loved him, and we're so thankful that you are such a blessing to our church. And what a tremendous lesson today. I enjoyed it so much. God bless
you
all. We love you, Sister Sanders.
I love you, Sister Clark. I love you.
All right. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Clark. And everyone, I just want to say, and Sister Sanders, once again, so many things that I can say here, but I'm going to keep this short. This was powerful what you said today. I wrote this down, a burden of harvest, a burden of harvest. You don't know how that hit me in the heart, and I know it affected many of our people. She talked about Jesus needing to go through Samaria, and I wrote this down. She made a comment, a requirement. It became a requirement, and I want Sister Sanders and the whole church to know there is a requirement, a burden, a need that is settling in many of our people just in recent weeks. You don't know that even before we did the outreach last Saturday, there's been many of our people that have been praying. They've been fasting. They've been offering sacrifice to the Lord regarding outreach, evangelism, and souls. There's a great thing that is taking place right now with our people. And first of all, I want to make sure that everyone knows that tomorrow we're having our evangelism prayer tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. in our conference room. Please join us. There's going to be a powerful thing that takes place. Everyone, please bring your masks. We're going to be careful as we can, but we want to continue with this move of the Holy Ghost in evangelism. And the last thing I want to say is this. Sister Sanders made a comment, and I wrote it down. It is a crown of rejoicing for the soul winner. A crown of rejoicing for the soul winner. How true those words are, Sister Sanders. That's the Lord, the reason why the Lord saved us, why he called us into his harvest, a burden of harvest. Again, thank you so much, Sister Sanders, for this great message this morning. I know it's going to help and benefit our people. And we want to remind everybody about our couples devotion tonight with Brother and Sister Al at 7:15 p.m. We look forward to having everyone back in the name of Jesus. God bless everyone. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.